through the book of Colossians, and I'm going to be there in a second. How many believe that I am different than I was, say, 6 months ago or whatever? Do you really believe that? My family really believes it. I mean, they live with me, and they'll go home and they say, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, Delbert, how you've changed. And I knew I had, and it wasn't something that I had worked at doing. It's something I had asked the Lord many times to do in me, but it never transpired until recently, where it just did, it just happened, and it wasn't something that I worked at or even tried to do. It was just something that happened. Were all the kids sitting over here? Is that what just happened? Or did some people get up and go home? And it was something that transpired in me, and it just kind of happened. And I didn't know why, and I didn't know what, but I knew that something was different in me, and the things that I had that were changed were things that I had really entreated and asked the Lord to change about me. And so yesterday I came down, yesterday morning early, and I got with the Lord, and I began to prepare for this morning. And what I felt that the Spirit wanted to say to us and do, and we were going to have water baptism. So I always like to teach or preach about what we're going to be doing to increase our faith, to get us excited about what God's about to do, what to expect Him to do in our lives. I just don't want to get people wet. I want people to come out of there different than they went in. And so as I began to prepare for that, all of a sudden, in my notes that I had done back when I had ministered about water baptism back at the end of last year, and we had that big baptismal service, what I began to see was what I had asked God to do in that baptismal service, He had done. And it was at that time that I changed. And something happened in me. Something was cut away from me. I was liberated, I was set free, something happened in me at that time. God changed me in those waters of baptism. And now I have a greater faith and expectancy that what He's going to do today, He can do as well. And so we're going to have baptismal service at the end of this service. But I want to increase our faith. Once again, I don't care what you're wearing. If the Holy Ghost gets on you and you say, I need to get baptized again, don't go out of here without it. Because it is life-changing when you mix it with faith and you allow God to move on you. I don't care what kind of car seats you've got. We'll give you some plastic to sit on. It does not matter. What matters is that God gets a hold of you and touches you while you're here. Amen? And so this is vital, and you're going to see again, I'm going to say again some of those things that I said then, but God gave me something new and something fresh, and I'm going to get baptized again. All right? And I am not one that believes that you do it once. I used to be. I used to think that you can only get water baptized one time. But then, you know, the Lord ministered to me last year at the end, and I started thinking about it. And I think the first time something happened, but something major happened this last time. And I believe there's still some things there that He wants to cut away in me. I think there's still some things that are veiled to be circumcised in me. And as I do it in faith, as my faith increases, as my faith levels increase, then I want to get baptized every time my faith levels increase, because I'll have faith that He'll be able to circumcise something else in my life. Now, is that biblical? Is that scriptural? Can you do that? Well, you can't show me where you can't. Okay? I think you could get baptized every day if you want to, because it doesn't say you can't. How many times can you plead the blood of Jesus Christ? Right? How many times can you get refilled with the Holy Ghost? How many times can you pray the sinner's prayer and get saved? A lot of us have done that. Okay? And there's nothing wrong here. I want you to understand. It's even in church history. What happened in church history is something magnificent. A man named Martin Luther in the late 1500s, early 1600s, he had a move of God that came out of his being. And what happened with Martin Luther is he birthed this doctrine of called justification by faith. That it was a movement of God. People were doing penance. People were doing works. And all of a sudden, Martin Luther got a revelation. It's not by what I do that saves me, for I'm saved by grace through my faith. And he got a revelation and he understood that what was going to happen to him was totally by God's grace and not by his works and not by his penance. People were cutting themselves, carrying these heavy loads around, these burdens and all this stuff. Martin Luther says, it's a bunch of junk. You're saved by grace. Amen? And then along came right after this, while Martin Luther was still alive, these people that were called Anabaptists. Anna means again. Baptize again. Now what they came to Martin Luther and they said, Martin Luther, we also see in the Scriptures, just like people don't have to work to get their salvation, that they're justified simply by faith in Jesus Christ and His blood, we also see that people have been erroneously baptized. They've been sprinkled. They haven't been sunken in the water. They haven't been instructed properly. They're not understanding what's happening in their lives. And he said, what we need to do is we need to baptize some people again. Martin Luther said, oh, no, you can't do that. But they did. And it became a move of God. And they started baptizing people again. And this is in church history. Listen, God is doing something in the earth and He's rekindling and redoing some things that we need to have happen in our life. So what we're doing is not wrong. It is of God, and we like to baptize people again. And if this quickens to you as I'm speaking, don't go out of here dry. This is vital. This is life-changing stuff. Now, I've talked to some people that were baptized then, that were baptized again back in the last year. And everybody that I've talked to says, you know, I changed too. Something happened in me too. Now that you mention that. How many would say that as I look out across you? How many of you would lift your hands and say, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, something happened in me too? Look at this. Look at this. Yeah. It happened. You go in there by faith as your faith is lifted and you understand what God's trying to do and wants to do in those baptismal waters, then something is removed from you. And I really believe that it doesn't matter if you're baptized one time or 15 times. If you didn't get what I'm going to show you should have gotten, you need to get baptized again. Now, you don't have to do it today, but one day you need to get baptized again. And the longer you wait, the more you're putting it off. How many knows that it's easier to baptize an eight-day-old baby than it is an 80-year-old man? There's less flesh to cut off, and there's less bleeding. And the sooner you do it, the better it is. Now, what we need to understand is that there were erroneous baptisms. There were people that were baptized that did not combine it with faith. And you've got to first understand what the Scriptures teach us about water baptism, is that there is a war going on right now in your members. Now, the Apostle Paul told us that. He says that there was a war in his members. And I want you to understand this, because if you don't understand it, you'll go through your Christian walk in warfare, never understanding how you can overcome. Water baptism is something that will give a mighty blow to your flesh. What Apostle Paul says in Romans 7:23. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. Now, what is the flesh waging? What is the going on inside of you? What's waging war against your mind? And making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. You have got to understand that every one of us has the flesh, and that the flesh wars against the spirit. And as this flesh man sits in there, he sits in there as a guard over your mind. And he does not want anything spiritual to penetrate into your understanding. And he wars with it. And as the Spirit of God begins to move, and he begins to try to break through, he has to fight this tremendous warfare with the spirit and with the flesh. They're going at it. As the spirit man tries to come into you and to fill you, your flesh is fighting him off and won't let him. And he fights him and he wars with him. And Paul says this is the conflict that goes on within inside of each one of us. And all of us understand this, and all of us know that this is true. We all fight this fight. And there's a war that's going on inside your members. Your spirit lusteth against your flesh, and your flesh against your spirit. And that's what the NIV, that's what Galatians 5:17 says. I just quoted the King James, but the NIV Bible says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." Now, what happens in you, what's going on inside of you, what transpires, and Judy touched it just a little bit as she was talking about the joy thing, is all of a sudden what God's trying to break through and happen in the earth, all of a sudden what your flesh begins to war with, it says, "This is foolish." Because the things of God are foolishness to the carnal mind. And that carnal mind is in there warring, and it's fighting off the things of the Spirit. He's got his sword out. As that sword of the Spirit tries to come in, that sword of the carnal mind's in there, and they're warring, and he won't let you come in, and he tries to say, "That's foolishness. That's dumb. That's stupid. You don't need to go to church on Sunday mornings. That's foolish. You stay home and watch Kenneth Copeland. Foolish to have to get up and go to church. It's foolish to pray. Foolish. Waste of time. It's foolish to lay on the floor and laugh. It's foolish. Foolish to have joy. Be sad. Foolish to tithe. Hey, you need that money. Foolish to give to poor people. Hey, make them work. Give them a job. It's foolish. And what happens inside of our members is this war that's going on, and the things that you want to do so desperately in the realm of the Spirit, you do not do. Because there's a guard that's set up there, and that guard has to be attacked, and that guard has to be circumcised, that guard has to be cut down, and what does it, or what begins it, or what helps do it, is water baptism. And a guard is sitting there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And when spiritual things start happening in the church body or in the body of Christ in general, if something inside of you says, "I don't believe that, that's stupid, that's foolish," you better check it out. Because what's happening is that carnal mind is sitting there warring against the Spirit that's trying to come in. They're adversaries one to another. They fight with one another. And so now, what we're wanting to see is what this water baptism does. And in Colossians chapter 2, and I want to start reading at about verse 8, and I've already emphasized this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I do want you to see, because I'll be touching these things just a little bit. Where's Colossians? There it is. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Now notice what he's talking about. People being deceived. People listening to their carnal minds. People listening to doctrines of men. "Lest somebody spoil you or deceive you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the Spirit of the principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision not made," "in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." When did this happen? "When you were buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through faith and the operation of God, that who hath raised him from the dead. Now, what's happened? What does it mean when it says that you're buried with him in baptism and you're raised in newness of life, or you're raised into Christ? That means that when you were in that water, something happened and something died. And you were raised into something that you weren't before you went in. There was a death blow given to your flesh. And my flesh is strong. And it's going to take a lot of death blows to get it. And yours is strong also. And if what I'm about to project to you isn't taking place or hasn't taken place in your life, then you want to pray. You want to seek God. You may want to hear the Spirit right now say, get up there, get in line, and get water baptized again. Because something, listen to me, and I want you to hear this. Something should happen in your life that is noticeable. When you're water baptized, you should change. And if you've been water baptized and didn't change, you just got wet. Now hear me, and look, see if I'm telling you the truth. Now, the mind needs to be circumcised. And there's all sorts of ways that we could approach this and look at this. And I want to say this, when a man is circumcised, he is very vulnerable. He is totally exposed. Okay? And when you go into those waters of baptism, you have got to expose your mind. And you've got to allow it to become very vulnerable to the scissors of God, to the scalpel of God. And you've got to say, Lord, do a work in me. Don't just do it because the Bible says, well, you're supposed to be water baptized. Get in there and let God do a work on the circumcision of your mind. Become vulnerable to the things of the Spirit. Go in expecting Him, mixing your water baptism with faith so that something will happen and something will take place. Because something has to happen. Something will happen in your life when you're water baptized or you only got wet. And you'll see this as I progress through here. So understand that as we look at the circumcision of the flesh, that there's something that's going to happen in your life. Now, how I want to recognize the uncircumcised mind. I want you to know how to grasp the truth if your mind has been circumcised. I've got to read this from the Amplified before I take this off. Because you've got to understand that it's in water baptism where your flesh is dealt a death blow. The Amplified Bible does a great job with it. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Look at verse 12. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with Him in your baptism, in which you were also raised with Him in a new life through your faith in the working of God as displayed when He raised Him up from the dead. Something is supposed to happen when you receive water baptism. Something happens to your mind. Something happens to the way you think. Something happens to you. You've got to understand that if it didn't, then you didn't receive the water baptism the way that you should have. Now, recognizing the uncircumcised mind, see if these things are in you. Know if or if not your mind has been circumcised. Number one, there will be a spiritual drowsiness. You can go to the movies and be wide awake. You can go to plays and be wide awake. You can fellowship with people and you can be wide awake. But you come to the house of the Lord and all of a sudden supernatural drowsiness comes upon you. You start dozing off. You say, oh, Lord, too warm in here. Boy, I wish I was home. God's talking to me. Man. Am I right? And it's, you know, but everywhere else you're wide awake. You're excited. But you come to the house of the Lord and spiritual things begin to be projected. And up goes that guard and he starts warning off these spiritual things. And your spiritual mind says, you're sleeping. You're tired. You were up late last night. Yeah, I am sleepy. Boy. And the circumcised mind are excited about the things of God. They're vulnerable. They're opened up to it. They want to grasp them. They want the things of God. They're hungry for the things of God. Well, what's going to happen today? What's going to happen next? There should be an excitement about being in the house of the Lord. When our minds are circumcised properly, we want to come to the house of the Lord because we know that something spiritual is going to be projected and that I'll be able to receive something that I haven't received before. Number two. Recognizing the uncircumcised mind is you can't remember spiritual things. And what this will do to you is cause you to be very vulnerable and cause you to rely on the doctrines of men. You can remember phone numbers. You can remember addresses. You can remember what's coming on the television at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. But you can't remember scriptures. You've been to church 15 years, but you still can't remember scriptures. This one can remember them, and that one, but I still can't remember scriptures. Why can't I remember scriptures? Well, there is a war going on in your mind, and when you're trying to sit down and read the scriptures and try to get those and put them, hide them into your heart. There's this thing in there that's warring against it, and all of a sudden you find yourself reading, and your mind starts drifting off. You're at Kmart, or you're at Walmart, or you're somewhere shopping up at the mall while you're trying to read the scriptures. Your mind is, your eyeballs are looking at the pages, and you're reading the words, but nothing's going in. Your mind needs to be circumcised. Memorizing scripture is just as easy as memorizing a telephone number or an address or a birthday or what comes on television at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. It's not difficult to memorize scriptures. And if it's difficult for you, realize there's something going on in here. And what this causes you to be is very vulnerable to the doctrines of men and devils. And because you don't know what the Word really says for yourself, so you have to listen to what somebody else says that it says. And you fall prey to the doctrines of devils. You can't read it. And what did Jesus war with the devil with? It is written. And you can't war with the devil because you don't have it in here to war with. Because the carnal guard is set up and he's warded off the spirit. As the spirit's tried to come in and penetrate into your mind, the thing's warring and it's just not happening. And if that's the situation, then your mind needs to be circumcised. And that's what's happening a lot in the Christian world today. People don't read the scriptures. People don't understand how to war with the devil. They don't understand warfare. They don't understand what's going on between their ears. And so they go to church, they hear some little message on Sunday morning, and they never get to war with the devil, and the devil has his way in their life, has his way with their children, has his way with their marriage, has their way with their finances. Hit war. And then the third thing. Doubt that God loves you. And doubt the people of God love you. And what this causes, when you doubt that God loves you, is this attacks your faith. Because you question your salvation. And this is the one that I really asked God to help me with when I was water baptized the last time. I said, God, here's what I just need to know that the body of Christ loves me. All I hear is bad things. That's not true. I hear a lot of good things. But what my flesh mind was saying is all I hear was bad things. I need to know, Lord, that you love me. Because you say, I have a hard time loving me myself. You say, I know every frailty and every fault I've got. I know everything about me. And when you know all that about yourself, it's hard to love yourself. And you will never love others until you learn how to love yourself. And that's very important to God, that first of all you love Him, and then you love what? Your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't love yourself, there's something missing in your spiritual walk. And you don't believe people love you, and you doubt your salvation, and you doubt your faith, and you preach condemnation because you believe God is condemning you. How many of you know that I have not preached a condemnation message since I was water baptized? See? Because that's not what God is saying to me right now. Well, God is, He circumcised that for me. And now I'm hearing, what I'm hearing from God right now say is, Delbert, I love you. I know all about you. I know every sin you ever did, and I still love you. I love you with a love that passes knowledge, passes what I know about you. I still love you. Is that good? And see, that's what you gotta. I had to come to that place. Man, I come in here and I beat people up. I wouldn't go in with a scalpel to try to help them. I'd go with a machete to try to cut them in two. You don't hear that no more. And if you do, that means that flesh is starting to grow back. I need to be water baptized again. Tell me, say, hey, you need to be water baptized again. Amen. I'm telling you. And now, when I saw that happen, when I saw that had happened in me, and when I saw that it wasn't something that I worked at and that I did, when I saw that it wasn't something that I had to struggle to make happen in me, that it just happened, then I had faith to believe what God showed me this past Saturday morning, yesterday morning. And that's number four. When your mind's not circumcised properly, there's a voidness of the power of God in your life. When you're water baptized, people, now hear me, this is the point that the Lord wants to speak to us today. When you're water baptized, there should be such a huge change in your life. Something that becomes very obvious in your life. When your mind's not circumcised properly, you don't want to pray for people because God never answers your prayer. You say, man, I see other people lay hands on them and they get healed. I see other people pray for them and God answers their prayers. I pray for them, nothing happens. I lay my hands on them, nothing ever happens. Now look at this scripture with me and you'll see where I'm trying to come from and where the Spirit of the Lord is trying to minister to us. There is a power that happens to us when we receive proper water baptism. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, look at this. And he said unto them, he is Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now notice what happens to this believer. What happens to him? He believes and he is baptized. Then he's saved. We understand that. I'm not making a doctrine out of you got to be water baptized to be saved. What I'm saying here is the emphasis here is that the believer is baptized. He's saved. Salvation is now working into his life. But he that believeth not is damned. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them. Who's them? Who's them? Those that believe and are baptized. There should be signs following your life. There should be a power of God that activates when you're water baptized. Something should happen. When you come out of that water, you've got a power you didn't have when you went into that water. When I'm water baptized today, this is my faith. I'm releasing my faith to believe this. That God's going to do what He said He would do. That I'm going to release this faith. When I come out of that water, I'm going to have a power to lay hands on people. There are going to be more healings. There's going to be more faith released. There's going to be more miracles worked. There's going to be greater things that's happened in my life. Because He said so. When you believe, and I believe, and you're water baptized properly, and the circumcision of the mind happens in your life, a power of God should come upon you. You should be vulnerable to the power of God, to the Spirit of God. He should be able to come into my mind, not have to war with my flesh, and go in and do some powerful things. And so I'm being water baptized today, and I'm believing that God is going to release in my life the power to cast out devils, to speak in new tongues, to lay hands on, to take up the serpent. I really believe what that really means is you can do anything and it won't hurt you. As long as you're going in my name, I don't care what you touch, I don't care what you drink or eat, it won't hurt you. I don't necessarily believe you go around picking up snakes. But I do believe that when you're sent of God, that you have a power that you didn't have. And if it won't bite you, it won't hurt you. And if somebody sneaks in and gives you some poison, it won't kill you. Because you're going with a power. And they'll cast out devils, they'll speak in new tongues, and they'll lay hands on the sick, and what'll happen? And they will recover. This happens at baptism. There should be a power that when I come out of that water, I should be different. And if we're not different than we were when we went in the water, we just got wet. We went through some ritual, some religious ritual that didn't really do anything in our life. And our minds and flesh are still warring and fighting, and you don't believe it, you think it's foolishness to talk in tongues. You think it's foolish to lay hands on the sick. You think it's foolish to praise and worship and dance and magnify God. We could go to the nightclubs and do it. Oh, God, we can't do that in church, can we? Where do you think the world got it from? They can't create nothing. All they can do is duplicate. All they can do is counterfeit what God's already done. Pervert it and divert and defile it. It's exactly what happens. You'll find dance in the Scriptures over and over and over. You'll find praising God. You'll find shouting and rejoicing and all these things in there. They're in there. The world has taken them and perverted them, and now it makes it look like we're wrong. We're not wrong. They're wrong. And there's a power that comes into you at water baptism. You should come out of there totally and drastically changed. And when I go in this time, when Doug baptizes me this time, I'm going to believe that God is going to circumcise my mind and that a power of God is going to come into my life. And we're going to see great exploits happen here. Because if I can get it, then I can impart it. And that's what we want to see. Oh, I see some miracles. I've seen some wonderful things happen in my ministry. God's allowed me to do some tremendous things. Open deaf ears and see arms grow and legs and spines straightened. And I've seen God do some wonderful things. But I want them every time. I don't understand, Lord, why is it that I sometimes and sometimes it's not? Well, it's not Him. Did He ever... Let me ask you a question. When did Jesus do His miracles? Before He was baptized? Or after He was baptized? And the Holy Ghost came upon Him. Then He went into the wilderness and He came out with the power of God. And Jesus, it worked every time. He spit in their eyes. He'd make mud. Can you imagine that? Good thing the guy was blind. Huh? He could hear, though. And look, you know, we got this. I don't know where this is coming from. Well, you know, it just breaks our religious philosophies and thinking how, you know, we see him just gliding along, and Peter followed him with this little satin pillow with a little vial sitting on it. And he said, I'm going to spit in this little cup. So Peter makes a little sand, and then Jesus goes, makes mud. Do you realize how much spit it would take to make mud? You get sick, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? These girls up here, they're about to... Oh, man. They're turning... Look at them. They're pale. I mean, think about that. But there was a power there. Linda, you're getting the joy back there, huh? There was a power there. He wasn't religious. Peter didn't follow him around. He did it in his hand, man. Jesus, help us. Oh, I want the power. These are ways that you will know. Now look at Acts chapter 19. And I'll show you what we're going to do also today. And then we'll do it. I'll read while you're turning there out of the NIV Bible. This passage in Mark 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons, speak in new tongues, pick up snakes, drink deadly poison. It won't hurt them. That's the point. It won't hurt them. And they'll place their hands on the sick, and people get healed. That's what I want to see. So many hurting people today in the earth. Now, in Acts chapter 19, we see this actually happen. And I talked about it last time, but I saw something else this time as the Spirit of God was leading me through it. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul comes to the city of Ephesus, and he finds these 12 little believers who've been there for a while. And I want you to read this with me. And it came to pass, verse 1, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto them, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now realize, please, that something was different about their worship. They were worshiping God, they were praising God, but Paul could obviously see that they were missing something. There was something that wasn't in their life. There was a power there. There was an evidence there that wasn't there. Let me say that again. It was evident that there was something not there that should be there. And so he asked them a question. He says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, okay, if we're ministering to people and we notice something in their life, maybe they're not speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit or something, and we were to ask them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" What would they think? "You religious fanatic. Who do you think you are? You're more spiritual than I am, huh?" No, we just want to know, is your mind circumcised? Well, then what? Notice what he asked, the question, the next verse here. He didn't say, "Well, let me explain it to you. Now, I want to lay hands on you and pray, and you're going to hear these little words in the back of your head, and all these things are going to happen to you, and you're going to talk like kilababiatatatable. See, that's what's going to happen to you, and you're going to say these words." That's not what he asked him. What did he ask him? Well, what were you baptized in? Was there something wrong with the way you were baptized? Was there something erroneous? Because when you were baptized, something should have happened to you. He didn't. Now, I would have said, "Well, let me explain this to you. You need to talk into. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost." Well, Paul says you need to be water baptized, right? Is that what he says? He says, well, then what were you baptized in? And he said unto them, "Unto what were you baptized?" And they said, "Well, John's baptism." We were erroneously baptized. Well, he says, "Well, then let me explain this to you. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus." Well, a lot of us have heard that and been baptized into that. How many of you have been baptized in that you should believe in Jesus? Right? Well, Paul says there's a little more to it. And then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now look at this, and here's what I want to emphasize, because after we've baptized, we're not quitting. We've only done a part of water baptism. And this is something the Lord just showed me. Okay, they're baptized, and then what did he do? He laid hands on them. What we've done is we baptized and we sent them home. Do you realize it's at that moment that the mind is the most vulnerable? At that mind, it's the most open. At that time, it's the freshest cut. At that time, it's the most accessible or receptive to the things of the Spirit. And so, Joyce, after I baptize you guys and get you all wet, then I'm going to put hands on you. And you're going to receive something that I've got to give you. Isn't that good? And now some of you may need to be water baptized again. Kevin, we're going to get you wet, right? God's going to do some whacking. Then we'll lay hands on you. You're going to receive something. Don't go out of here dry. If the Holy Ghost is talking to you, release your faith. Get your car seats wet, they'll dry. Get your hair messed up. You can go back to the beauty parlor. That's not what's important. Those are carnal, simple little things. Get properly water baptized. Let God do a work in your life. Amen? Because we're going to do it. You're going to, these things that we've showed you are going to start happening in your life. You ask God for something specific. You do it by faith. Faith is simply believing that God is absolutely able to do what He said He's going to do. When you absolutely believe that you're going in that water and something different is going to happen to you, something different is going to happen to you. But if you're doing it for some religious thing, all you're going to do is get wet. Do it right. And then do it again, right. And then do it again. Don't be religious with the things of God. He loves us. Does He love us? Did He give us this for a reason? You girls want to go change? If anybody needs to change, that's fine. You can go now. Doug, you need to change? This is why I wore this today. I don't normally wear the collar, as you know. But when I'm ready to do it, I'm ready to do it. And I want us to release our faith and believe that God wants to do something for us. He wants to give us something, impart something to us, release something in us. He wants to circumcise our mind. He wants us to be awake here. He wants us to be more awake here than we are anywhere. He wants us to be receptive here. He wants us to hear what's going on in other people's lives. How many of you have done what I've done in the past? You'd be talking to somebody, all of a sudden your mind's, this person's talking to you, but your mind's gone over here. And they're trying to share something with you that's very important either in their life or something that you really need to hear. Well, there's something warring in there. And He doesn't want that. And He wants us to be awake when we come here. He wants us to know that God loves us. He wants us to know that, man, I love you so much that I died for you. I've got something good for you. He wants us to be able to war with the enemy, so He's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He wants us to hide it in our hearts and to use it mightily. He wants us to come against powers and principalities. We're going to find ourselves in wilderness situations, and you better have the Word, and you better be able to say, it is written. You're going to find yourself in a wilderness sometimes. And the amazing thing is you're led there by the Spirit. And so you will understand if you're able to war or not and where you need to shore yourself up. But when you come out of that, you're coming out with a power. He wants us to retain. The book of Joshua says, hide it in your heart. And He wants us to have a power that the church does not have today. Erroneous baptisms. Baptized in the baptism of John. Or Delbert. My doctrine. What does Delbert say about it? What does the Bible say about it? Baptized in the baptism of the Baptist church. Baptized in the baptism of the Methodist church. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen? Man, this is we gotta cut loose, spit in the mud, get it on our eyes, and get healed. You want me to do the sound effects again, do you? All right, I want you to enter in with us as we do this. I expect some manifestations. I'm going to get baptized first. I like it. I really do like it. And if the Holy Ghost has spoken to any of you that didn't come prepared and you want to, hey, come on.